Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today in the studio is the producer of our show, Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam. How are you feeling?
Can you tell? I'm doing great.
You're fired up today.
Yeah.
You had a big day, big weekend.
Brad's not with me, so I don't have the burden to carry around.
The weight is off your shoulders.
Exactly. I obviously have to speak poorly of someone before we get started here.
And since he's not here, we'll pick him.
He is the absolute correct person to do so. In Dallas, Texas, is with us this morning is Kevin Ritz. Kevin, are you there?
We are. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic.
Kevin has two guests with him from the Gardens of Richardson. And with that, Kevin, I'm going to turn it over to you.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Joining me today, we have Tammy Fetzner, who is the rehabilitation manager and physical therapist at the Gardens of Richardson, and Wanda Ledford, who is the administrator. How are you ladies doing this morning?
Doing good. We're great.
All right. Tammy, let's start with you and have you just kind of give us a background, where you're from, where you went to school, and how you came to be at the Gardens of Richardson.
I'm originally from Garland, Texas, and I basically born and raised there. Now I'm living in Dallas. I've been at the Gardens of Richardson for over 10 years. March will be 11 years. I've been a physical therapist for over 20 years. I have to say that out loud. But the Dallas area has always been my home. So I decided that skilled nursing and geriatrics was something I really wanted to, you know, take on. I had been doing other things with orthopedists and things like that, but this is kind of where my heart was doing more geriatrics. So that's why I chose to do a manager position in the skilled nursing level and with geriatric patients.
All right. And Wanda, what about you?
Well, I am originally from Oklahoma, and as a child, I always thought Dallas was the place I wanted to live. So here I am. Went to school in San Marcos and went through the long-term care program there. I've been an administrator for 23 years. Actually had an older brother that was also a licensed administrator. Not that I was following in his footsteps, but it gave me the idea. I feel like this is where I belong. I feel like it's where I make a difference with my life and the lives of the people that live in the facility.
All right. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Gardens of Richardson and kind of what separates it from the other skilled nursing in the area?
Well, the one thing about the Gardens of Richardson, we have long-term care, and that includes rehab in the long-term care, and we have an assisted living facility together. The Gardens of Richardson has been, it's the oldest facility there. It's been there about 23 years. We are the first ones to have both of those levels of care with the assisted living and the long-term care. We have 106 beds in skilled nursing, and we have 64 apartments in our assisted living. What sets us apart and what the best thing about the Gardens of Richardson is it does give our individuals an opportunity to live in a more of a home-like setting in their assisted living. But should they need therapy services or long-term care services, they can move to our second floor. We have many people that move to the second floor and have therapy services and then move back to their apartments. It's a warm, home-like community. We have a great therapy gym for our residents there. It is one of the largest ones in several of the homes that I've worked in, and we have a great therapy team.
All right, and speaking of therapy, Tammy, let's hear a little bit about your therapy program and the skilled nursing side.
One of the things I think is a good thing is I have a very, very stable staff. Of course, I've been there, like I said, at Gardens of Richardson for over 10 years. Most of my staff has 20 years plus experience, and most of them have been with me probably 6 to 7 years at this point. I have, we offer physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy. We have a lot of the same things like a rehab hospital would. We have standing frames. We've got the parallel bars. We've got a lot of equipment through Accelerator Plus. It's actually electrical stimulation machines and things like that that help with pain, specific with pain, different programs, you know, for falling, things like that. But a very nice big gym. Things that we can try to, if they're going to plan on going home, then we can recreate that in our gym so that they're safe once they do go to their home environment. Normally, if we have, normally with our patients, we'll have at least 50% that go home or either back to their assisted living or somewhere like that, which is nice. And if they are upstairs and starting skilled and then decide, you know, that they want to go to our assisted living, the nice thing is we can keep the same therapist with them and continue to see them downstairs. So that makes it nice for the family as well. You know, as a patient, and they, you know, their comfort, it helps with their comfort level and stuff. And then we can help them to do that transition from skilled nursing to assisted living. So,
when a patient is ready to transition home, either back into an independent living or their actual house, what are some of the big things that you focus on to help them be safe and to not have to come back if there's a setback?
A lot of times we'll actually go with them to their home environment, whether it's their assisted living or to their actual home. And if we can't do that, then a lot of things we try to ask them, you know, how did you move around in your home before? How many bathrooms do you have? Different things like that. Try to go in and look at the environment so we know that it's safe for them before they go back. Take them through all the things that they would normally do functional-wise through their normal day. You know, if they cooked, if they did any cleaning, any washing, any like I said, any functional things they normally do, and make sure that environment is safe for them. Or, and then at that point, try to make recommendations to what would make that safer.
Okay.
And then try to recreate that at our therapy, you know, gym if we can, to try to help keep working on those things.
When you go into the home, what are some of the big safety concerns that you look for, just for some of our listeners who are still living at home or have loved ones at home and they're trying to avoid a fall or an accident? What are some of the big things to look for to improve the safety?
A lot of the things that we find are the nice throw rugs and stuff in the bathrooms, rugs that might be in the kitchen and things like that. Those are what usually people end up tripping on. So we try to make sure that everything's clear, make sure nothing's very cluttered in the home. They've got a nice path to walk all throughout their home environment. Like I said, again, the throw rugs, things like that. You want to make sure also if they're, you know, showering, bathing, different things like that, that all of that equipment, as far as standing up from the toilet, having, you know, a shower bench or a bathtub bench, those are things that help them to keep their home environment safe. And that way they can stay in their home environment longer.
All right.
At that point.
Wanda, when, you know, I have a little bit of background in assisted living, and I'm sure we've seen some of the similar situations. When somebody is coming in from a home environment, what are some of the things you strive to do to make it an easy transition for them?
Well, as they come in, of course, we want them to bring as much of their own belongings as possible, especially in assisted living. We do discourage the things like the throw rugs and those types of things. We have we do a luncheon for our new residents that come in. We have an activity program who is very active in making sure that they meet someone. We have what we call ambassadors that you know, to do a welcome with the residents. But it's everybody kind of on board, especially in the very beginning, to make sure that everybody is welcome. They know their way around. They know what time meal times are. They know where the laundry is, if they're going to use the laundry and those types of things. But, you know, we just make sure that everybody's, you know, knows somebody's coming in.
All right. And you mentioned activities, and that's a big thing. What are some of the things that you do from an activity standpoint to help enrich the lives of your residents?
Well, our activity program varies a lot. We have an individual that had been with the Gardens of Richard for like 18 years. She took a break, and now she's back. But we've had we have outdoor programs where we have little parades. We've had bands come in. Every Friday we have a happy hour, and we have an entertainer that comes in. And we encourage our residents from both skilled nursing and our assisted living to participate together. So there is no separation between your upstairs and your downstairs. We have the Dallas Cowboy Shooters have actually come out and are planning to come out in May again as well. Of course, some of our female residents want the football players, so we're trying to work on that. But it varies, and there's always the bingo, and there's always the games that individuals like to play. We have crossword puzzles. And it, we have small groups that, you know, kind of do their own thing, but we have a needlework program. We had a Bring Your Hobby to Work the other day, and the residents were really excited about that. They brought theirs, and some of us brought ours and kind of shared with, you know, what we do outside of work to kind of get them to see that we have other interests as well.
All right. So, you know, you mentioned you have the two, the assisted living and the skilled nursing, and if somebody from the assisted living needs that skilled care, it's an easy transition to the skilled mm-hmm. nursing. Is it possible for them to get physical therapy while they're still in their apartment, or do they have to?
It is. Okay. They, you know, depending on what their insurance is to pay for, or they can pay for it privately, and our therapist from our skilled nursing will provide that service on assisted living as well.
Okay. And, you know, one of the things that I always focus on is keeping people as independent as possible, mm-hmm. You know, for as long as possible. What are some of the things that you can do to help facilitate that?
Well, I think with the therapy that they promote a lot of that. We do discourage people from, they want to be pushed in their wheelchair. Try to get them to do things themselves. We try to make sure that they're still brushing their own teeth, you know, as much as possible. Our staff is trained to make sure that they, you know, they don't just take over and do those duties. So, you know, we want them to stay as independent as possible. That's our whole goal. The less independent they are, the more we're doing for them, and the less happy they are.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say everything, but a lot of what we do is extremely rewarding. Tammy, what do you find most rewarding about your position?
I think when I get somebody, for example, that's come in, and let's say they're, you know, bedfast when they come in and they haven't been able to get out of the bed, and I actually had one individual that did do that, a lady that came in, and that's exactly how she was. And after we rehabbed her, she actually was able to go home, which, you know, when we first saw her, never thought that she would be able to do that, and that's such a nice thing, and they're so appreciative and so thankful that, you know, we're able to get them back to where they were before. And I think that's my most reward, is watching them, you know, to progress back to their original level, and then they're able to continue on their lives as long as they can. So very rewarding.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. Yeah.
Do you have a specific story about somebody that really touched your heart or your life?
Really, that lady that I was just referring to was someone that really, and the nice thing is that she'll come back and see us, and then I'll have a lot of patients that will come back and visit with us and stuff and keep coming and, you know, saying hi and stuff, and that's always nice to see, because they're still staying at home or, you know, or they're assisted living or whatever, and able to keep, you know, being functional and independent as possible, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's always nice to see the longevity thing, you know, people mm-hmm. coming back and, you know, keeping in touch.
Right.
And Wanda, what about you? What do you find most rewarding about your position?
There's so many stories that the individuals tell that's so interesting. I probably, up until this facility, didn't have as many of like World War II veterans. And hearing some of the stories they tell, it's really, really interesting. And we have one gentleman that has all of his little medals and his pictures on the wall. Just getting to know the individuals, not having really as much contact with my own grandparents growing up, it's just nice to have, you know, they're warm, they want to hug you, they want to kiss you, and they, you know, it's more of a relationship than a job.
For those who are listening that want to reach you or reach out to you, how can they do that?
Well, you can contact us. Our phone number is 972-783-8000. We'd love people to come by and visit at any time. I'm often there after hours or on the weekends. And our website is www.gardensofrichardson.com.
Wanda, if you could give one piece of advice to either a senior citizen or a caregiver or a family member, what would you say?
Well, I would say plan ahead for the possibility. Everybody says, I don't want to live in long-term care or the nursing home. There's always a possibility. Plan ahead, both, you know, just think that could happen, but financially is what we find so often. People aren't they think they're prepared, but they're just not quite prepared. Medicare covers a lot, but they don't cover long-term care. Long-term care insurance, if you're going to purchase that, and it's a wise thing to do, make sure it's going to cover the services that you might possibly anticipate having. So many of them will cover long-term care, but maybe not assisted living, or they won't cover the rehab, or they won't cover enough of the rehab, or if you have a secondary insurance. So it's really a lot about just mentally preparing yourself. Know your community. Know, you know, if there's nursing homes there or assisted living facilities there. Know that community. Know if that's someplace you want to be, because there's so many out there to choose from.
All right.
Well, we thank you very much. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Wanda. Great interview. Great information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Kevin. Joining me today in Atlanta are two individuals from DK Lippe Construction Company. DK Lippe has a division that specializes in modifications that possibly seniors require or need. And with that, I want to welcome to our studios Dennis Lippe, president of DK Lippe Construction, and Rick Thaxton, vice president of marketing. Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Easy for you to say. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you letting us be here today.
I see it didn't take you long to jump right on the bandwagon and giving me a hard time. That's good.
Good morning. Brad's not here.
I'm glad you feel right at home. Okay, let's go over to Rick. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, Sam. And again, I want to thank you for having us. We're delighted to be here.
We're glad to have you. In defiance to Dennis, I'm going to begin with you, Rick.
Okay? Wise decision.
Tell us a little bit of your background, where you grew up, and what you've done for your professional career. How did you get with DK Lippe?
Actually grew up in the golf capital of the world, Augusta, Georgia. That was home for me, and I've spent probably about half of my life there in Augusta and about half here in the Atlanta area. Have been in sales and marketing for the better part of my adult life, and have been in the senior care industry for about 5 years now, and joined DK Lippe about 7 or 8 months ago, and I'm sort of in the learning curve on the construction side, but enjoying it very much, and I'm and certainly enjoying too making the awareness of all of the folks here throughout the metropolitan Atlanta area aware of what home modification actually is and how they can benefit from it.
Okay, great. All right, now, in respect to Dennis, the owner, president of DK Lippe, tell us your background and how did you come to be with or form DK Lippe?
Well, I moved down here from Louisville in 84, started with a company, commercial general contracting firm, and then in 95 decided to venture out on my own. We're pretty much interior build-outs, some ground up. We do some design work, construction management. About 4 or 5 years ago, came across, somebody introduced me to CAPS. It's Certified Aging in Place Specialist. And so we looked into it. We thought it was just a simple go out and install a couple of grab bars and realize that it's a lot more. You go in and you want to evaluate somebody's home to access in. Once they're inside, how can they get around? Or bathrooms, hallways, kitchens, anything you can do to modify somebody's home. We're looking at for seniors and people who are disabled. We work a lot with people coming out with spinal injuries. The thought is to improve their quality of life. So it's kind of adapted through the years. As we get more involved, we realize we're really helping somebody's life out.
Tell us, for our listeners, let's pick a make-believe case. We have someone, as you just mentioned, with a spinal injury that is a paraplegic. What are some of the modifications that this individual would require and that you can provide?
Well, a lot of times, especially a paraplegic, we'll start it with a bathroom, and we'll go ahead and regut it. Sometimes we'll have to knock out walls and expand it. We'll make it into what we call a wet room, where it's we have ceramic tile throughout everything. Everything's sprayable. So it's plenty big enough for the client to come in and move around. And if you take a whole sprayer, if they have a caregiver, you don't have to worry about how the water's going to drain. A lot of times we'll have to go in and remove sections of the floor, drop it down so everything will drain free. The first things is how are they going to get inside the house? You know, do we need a ramp? Do we need a lift? So once they're inside, or can they function enough inside the kitchen? You know, do they
Do you spend most of your time working in the kitchen and the bathrooms?
Primarily the bathroom.
Bathrooms,
yeah,
tricky.
And then it also depends on the age of the house. Some of the older houses, the kitchens are so small, you really can't do anything with. But a lot of the kitchen, the countertops are workable, the height. You know, sometimes they'll put an island in it right in the middle. We'll have to take the island out so you can move around. But it seems to be the focal points right now is the bathrooms.
Are there specific codes that have to be met in regards to these individuals, the handicapped or the elderly?
Well, we've been working with the ADA regulations since they came out in the mid-'80s. That's the Americans with Disabilities Act. So we have all the regulations, but once you get into a house, you use that criteria, but you got to modify it for the individual. So you're going to have some variances. For residential, there's not as specific codes, but there's tolerances and criteria that you need to follow. You know, sometimes you got a door opening that's you can't do anything with, but you know the wheelchair is going to be able to get in 28 inches. So if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do.
So right. You got to work with the circumstance, right?
Right.
And everyone's probably a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. And the houses are different.
Yeah. And you especially, know. I'm sure the older houses, they weren't thinking about this, you know, 75 years ago.
No, we had a client. She had a hip injury and she had to get up she had to get inside the house. We had to put in a lift, and then we had to get her up two flights of stairs. But we knew that she was only going to be injured 3 months. So we were able to set it up to where we have two lifts, a bench, where they went up a lift, went around a bench, went up another lift. But once she was able, she was done, we were able to resell that. So we kind of put that into the thought, too.
Right.
How long is the injury? Is it permanent injury? Is it short-term? Is it going to get worse?
Was that modification a permanent modification, or did you come back and then redo after she was?
Yeah, we took everything out.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but that...
Right, that's an issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about it.
And you know that Sam is a drywall certified expert.
Well, let's put it like this. I know how to sand it off real well.
One thing we're finding today, too, what is relatively a new idea is in stair lifts. For years now, it's been where you had to purchase a stair lift, and now they're available on a rental.
Oh, wow.
Type of basis, and that's really opened up a lot of folks their desire to not their desire, but their need for one. Of course, if they're able to use it for a short period of time, and then have someone come take it out.
Expand on that. Tell if you verbally can draw a picture of what a stair lift is, and then tell us what's the cost for these things, so our listening audience might know.
Well, someone coming out of rehab or coming out of a hospital that has had an injury that prevents them from being able to go up and down the stairs from their first level up to upstairs. Maybe they've only got a half bath on the main level. So you have a chair that sits on a tracking system, and then, of course you get on the chair on the main level, and it takes you up to the landing of the second level. When you've got someone who, like I say, cannot physically do that normally, then it's a beautiful way to continue enjoying their home and really be able to function there. The one I'm describing is just what we call a basic stair lift. Just goes up one flight of stairs to a landing.
Uh-huh.
There's some customized, of course. You've got stairways that go up to a landing and go to another landing,
right,
and so forth.
They have you can to make a turn.
Yeah, you can do those as well, but it's more of a custom job. But on a stair lift, the purchase of them, there's somewhere about $2,800 to $3,000, and then there's rentals involved in anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500 of an initial outlay, which includes the installation, mm-hmm. includes the removal, the permits, and any sort of inspection that they need to get done on it. And then it's about $100 a month for the rental of it, and there's no minimum number of months they can
do. And if you're renting it, Dennis, what is the lifespan of that rental, shelf life from a marketing term?
It would be, I would guess, dependent on the person's need.
All over the board.
Right, right. And you really got to evaluate, there's a cost, you know, to mention there, where is it worthwhile to rent it or buy it? And they are battery operated, and they're usually, the straight lifts take about a week. If you get into a curved one, that could be 6 to 8 weeks and $10,000 to $15,000. So that was when we were did that one application. It was, we were able to get it quick and cheap economically.
And that's what you were describing, a lift, a bench, and then a lift again.
Right.
I see
right.
what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
right, right.
And then also, it's if the person only needs it for a few months, they don't want it in their house beyond that.
No. Like, yeah. No, it's exactly. Yeah, it's great when you need it, but when you don't need it, it can get in the way.
Right.
And you don't want that. A lot of them don't want that memory. You know, they're ready
sure.
to go.
Let's go back to why the company that our listeners use to do these modifications needs to have some expertise in these.
Yeah, you wouldn't want somebody's.
I mean, obviously, you're talking about construction. I can do. I'm a drywaller, right?
Now we've established that,
but. I know how to sand real well, but putting it on, I'll put 2.5 gallons of mud for on in.
Sorry, a lot of sandpaper.
That's right. So tell us, what is the advantage of someone like your organization who has specialized in this type of arena?
Well, having the CAPS designation does help out. Kind of opens your mind, but since we've been involved with the ADA, we understand what the problems are, and we can design the solutions. We are not home remodelers. We make home modifications. So there is a distinction. You can kind of, it looks like it's the same thing, but only thing we want to do is if somebody calls us for a room addition, we will pass that on to somebody else. If it's a room addition to help the assistance to improve the quality of life for somebody who's in a wheelchair or somebody older, we would be interested in that. But,
this is what you deal with every day. I mean, if you have somebody that just knows how to put in a sunroom and then they're like, here, fix this bathroom for somebody in a wheelchair, that's a totally different.
They don't understand right. the problems.
You've already had the learning curve. This yeah. other guy would be learning on this person's
needs. And whenever time. Somebody calls us, first, what we do is we'll go in and take the dimensions. Then I put in AutoCAD and I'll start moving around with the design. And I work with the owner saying, is this what you want?
Right.
Is this going to work for you? And they'll come back and say, you know, we'll go back and forth. I think that's really important that they understand what we're doing.
Yeah. You know, obviously in my business, we're dealing with individuals in wheelchairs all day long. If I were to come to you, Dennis, and say, we've got an individual we need to do something with this bathroom, and the two principal areas that I need for you to look at is the shower and the toilet. What is what are the two principal things, or one each, that you would look for? What do we need to do for them to have shower accessibility and the toilet?
Big thing, space. You know, if they don't have the space, what can we do to enlarge that room? You know, we look for zero clearance where there's either a half inch or less, a three quarter of an inch lip to go from the bathroom floor to the shower. Can we get in there and where they can get in there with a caregiver? There are showers that are the same width and the size of a bathtub, but it's more of a person who can really wheel themselves in there. So the space is the big criteria. What can we do to increase that? And what we found with like the toilets, we like to try to get them up to a wall where we can get a grab bar. We have found that the somebody in a wheelchair, they work better with the standard height toilet versus the ADA. That way they can transfer over easier versus having to get up and move their bottom up.
Is the ADA taller?
Yeah, it's 19 inches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, that criteria, you know, we one of the first things we look at is, besides the room, is what is the mobility of the client.
Right, right.
You know,
and what's their prognosis, right? Like,
right.
What is their state today, but what is it going to be in 6 months?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go back
right.
in 6 months to redo this.
No, and we try to educate the consumers when we're talking to them. You know, a lot of times we'll get a call from a client, and they say, well, we just need the OT, the occupational therapist, or the physical therapist would say, this is what we need. They're kind of afraid for us to come out there because they're afraid we're going to sell them more than what they need.
Right.
We know what they need. We know they need more. But we try to stick to, if they told us, agree, need a grab bar here, we'll do a grab bar.
Even though that you might say, you know what, in 3 months you might need this.
Yeah.
You got to kind of be careful because you don't want to seem like you're overselling them.
Well, and we try to do a home evaluation where we'll go back, we'll have a checklist, we'll go in somebody's house, and we'll say, this is what you're going to need. This is the potential. It could range, you know, widen the door could range so much. So we'll give them a list, and we'll leave. But we charge $45 for that. But it's the type of thing where they can go to anybody. They don't have to come back to us.
Right.
You know, it's just it's an educational process. We would like for them to call us back and help them out. But what we try to do is create a relationship.
Yeah. Let's go to Rick. As you're out there doing your marketing, and you and I run somewhat in the same circles. Mm-hmm. What's one of the challenges that you are facing trying to convey that there is a need for this specialization in the marketplace? What's one of the challenges?
I think that the challenges that I run into would be more from the consumer side, more from the end user. I have spent a lot of times over the past several months in doing presentations to home health care, to hospitals, to the rehabilitation centers and nursing homes. All those folks at that level not only are receptive, but they're very eager to hear about what we do. Unfortunately, there's a lot of folks out there in the marketplace, though, that still don't know much about home modification. And even that those that do, as we know, there's a six-letter word out there that they're most afraid of, and that's change. They are very reluctant to do anything, even though there's something that is going to be of major benefit to them. To make any changes of any kind is very difficult for them to embrace. So I guess that's probably one of the biggest challenges we would have is, although we can do the assessment for them and really plant that seed in their mind that they can have some things done that's going to really assist them in a wonderful way, they're just kind of resistant or reluctant to do anything.
They don't see the benefit of improving their quality of life? They're not seeing the value in that?
They do see the value of it, but it's very difficult for, and I guess maybe it's easy to use an example. We had a client once where she was going up and down stairs down to the basement level to do laundry.
Right.
That's where her washer and dryer was located. So we did an assessment and was able to put the washer and dryer up in the kitchen area behind some louver doors, which was totally out of the way, and she would have to make that trip several times up and down the stairs. She couldn't, her mind couldn't wrap itself around that.
That
she was
that
so
was
used
possible.
To doing it. Right. Yeah. So used to doing it that same way for so long.
Yeah, and that's true. I've experienced that with my parents. We all experience that. You get set in your way, and anything that opposes that is the enemy.
No, they can't even imagine that that's even possible, I'm sure.
No, they really can't. And unfortunately, as we all know here, we live in a crisis-driven society, meaning that someone will fall and break a collarbone or a shoulder or a hip. Then they're ready for the grab bar in the bathroom. But prior to putting that grab bar in the bathroom, they don't think they need it.
Yeah. Right. And the grab bar might have prevented the fall if they'd been proactive.
No doubt. No, not in every case, obviously, but in many times it would have.
Yeah, another question comes to mind, but I want to give you a chance here. If in my business I have a client that's Griswold's that I realize needs some modifications, and I'm coming to you, Rick, and I'm going to say, okay, tell me why I should use Lippi. Tell me why.
That's a great question. One of the things that I'm most proud of, and Dennis has touched on this before, is that we're one of only a few builders, probably a handful of builders in the Atlanta area that has the CAPS designation. Dennis was one of the first builders to get his several years ago. So that is a major benefit to us. Probably the other thing that I think differentiates us is the fact that we also help them with other issues that they may be having. But when I go out and do an assessment, I'm also there to find out, are there some other things that they may need, like home health care or home care, or maybe they're looking at an elder law. type of legal service that they may be involved in. So we have an entire database at our office at our disposal that we can call folks in. And rather than them having to go online or go to the Yellow Pages or take their time to find these individuals, we can provide that for them. And many times, too, there might be a funding need that they don't have the proper amount of funds to do what they're looking for that we're suggesting for them. And we'll walk their hand. We'll hold their hand, walk them through that process to get them to the next step that would actually allow them to either maybe get the services done at a discounted price through some charitable organization or at a reduced price.
Or do you help them maybe do it in phases? Like maybe we can start and do this element of it and then, you know, in 3 months come back and do another element?
That's a good point. We do. A lot of times I'm asked, would you just go out and put a grab bar in?
Right.
And I don't know where that lies, why they think that we're looking for huge jobs. But many, many times we've sent an installer out from our office in Tucker over to the outlying area like Kennesaw or Covington or whatever, just install a grab bar. So, yes, the benefit, we see the benefit that that person is going to really enjoy and have that safety and independence of the grab bar. But then they may know someone at some point in time that's going to need a bathroom conversion.
It's not all or nothing.
It is not all or nothing. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people out there who may need some assistance, financial assistance, in the fact that we can provide that to them, too. I think they feel really good and comfortable in dealing with us. Rather than having, as I said, take their own initiative and have it go through a lot of different avenues to get another, like a home care provider that they might need.
Right. In my mind, Dennis, I think of these things, these aids for the seniors, and I get this picture of this sterile, cold hospital bathroom, big stainless steel bars and whatnot, which is really, it's not the image I would want in my home. What from an aesthetic standpoint, how do you deal with that situation?
Yeah, keep it homey.
Well, that's a big criteria we try to follow. If we're going to make a addition or do anything in the bathroom, we look for resale value. You know, what's it going to look like? Would somebody want to move in here? And we work with the there's a design concept called universal design where it's acceptable by usable, friendly by everybody. So we want to make the bathrooms homey. Anybody can walk in and say, this is nice. They're coming out with different styles and colors of grab bars. They've come out one with it's round. And it's still functional, but it's pleasing. They're quite expensive, on the grab bars, it's not uncommon for somebody to argue about the grab bar. Then all of a sudden you hear, you know, I wish I did that years ago.
Right, because it's kind of handy.
It is. Every time you're washing in the shower, you think, oh my gosh, that soap dish is going to protect me.
Right.
You know, we've gone to people's houses and they use the taller row, but they won't listen to us about putting in a grab bar.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've done that before. That's been one of my drywalling experiences.
That's where you learn.
Right? That's right. You made a statement there, Dennis, that I'd like for you to touch on, and you mentioned resale. So you come into the senior's home and you make these modifications, and obviously at some point that home is going to be, we would think, used by someone else. So can you come back and undo what you did?
Or is that even necessary?
Yeah.
Well, no, we try to make it where it's not necessary. You know, so it's pleasing to the eye. And there's sometimes you just don't have a choice but to make a modification that's not great, but it's functional.
Right.
So we try to put that idea in there, and it's a lot of times we'll go into a condominium and we'll make the modifications, but they want that money put aside. So if that person leaves, it could be put back together. Mm-hmm. So you
can work any which way, right?
Right, right. We take it down and put it back, and take it down and put it back.
Yeah. Right.
You know. So whatever going to make it the easiest for the client.
I would venture to say that many of the bathrooms that we've done you would see pictures of those in Southern Living or traditional home. I mean, they do look so outstanding that they're so non-institutional looking.
And that's what we want. And you said it well, non-institutional looking. And that's what I was trying to describe. That's good.
There's another area. It's one of the other areas that we're trying to stay up on is technology. There's systems out now where we can install cameras in the house. And then if the children are out of town, they can review everything online. So they just go to the internet and they can see how their parents are doing. Their systems.
So they can
out.
Spy on their parents,
right?
And then maybe the parents can have one where they can spy on their teenagers. You do that too.
Yeah,
we call that a monitoring system.
That's spying.
We don't do it in bathrooms.
Thanks, Lee.
Monitoring. Sorry, semantics.
But there are systems out there.
Depends on who's being monitored, right?
There are systems out there that will monitor the health. You know, they're sensitive enough to understand the heartbeat, and they can go back to the doctor's office. Technology is something that it's evolving quite a bit.
Well, it's real interesting you said that. I was approached by a company just several weeks ago that is really pushing these types of systems, as you just described, Dennis, a monitoring system, and not from a observing standpoint, but actually from a vital sign standpoint. And their goal is to lower the cost of care in your home. So instead of having someone like me and my personnel come and sit, my partner's going to get upset with me here. Mm-hmm. They have the monitoring system. They have someone on call, you know, in that situation. So you can do that type of work and installation. Okay.
But it's good. But sometimes that personal touch you still need at home.
So it's like an OnStar, like for your car, but it's in your house?
Well, it'll activate when you walk into a room.
Mm-hmm. And it will monitor vital signs, breathing, respiratory, heart rate, things of that. It knows whether you're prone or whether you're upright or whatnot.
Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, the basic system we look at comes with like four cameras, probably $1,000 to $1,500 installation, and I believe $15 or $20 a month,
right?
On
it's
the
a
internet.
Monthly, right?
Yeah.
Of course, there's a disadvantage to that. You got no personal time,
right?
You know, I mean, it's recorded.
Yeah,
it's
you're like in a real reality TV show.
It's out there in digital world. Everything you did that day. So I mean, it comes. There's good and bad with all that.
But it can be fine tuned. I mean, it is not talking about having your privacy. You still can. Mm-hmm. It can only be viewed by folks that you want it to be viewed by, and also too. Even in an area of the home like the bathroom, it can be you can have it not you would not be on display if you chose not to.
I understand.
Right. Yeah.
Good information, Dennis. I believe that we were talking earlier. And is there an organization or a special cause or organization that you'd like to mention?
There's it's called NAIPC. It's National Aging in Place Council. We started up a chapter here in Atlanta about a year ago. It's a consortium of different vendors involved where you can go to the website and you can see the list. As Rick was saying, it has home care, health care, attorneys, financial people, financial consultants, a whole array of, I think we got transportation and people moving, furniture, some people that help you with storage and just organizing. So it's a neat little chapter. It's everybody's there just to assist in any dilemma that you have.
And do you have by chance any contact information for them? I'm putting you on the spot here.
I believe it's NAIPC.com, and then they'll say local chapters.
The Atlanta chapter. Okay, good.
Maybe NAIPC.org.
Org.
Yeah, I think
you're right.
Okay.
It is .org.
All right. I'll ask you this, Dennis. I'll give you the privilege. For our listening audience who might have to start considering these modifications or changes as their loved ones grow older, as they begin this process, what piece of advice might you give them as they start this process?
Well, I guess you got to sit back and study their movement. You know, are they getting worse? Is it progressive? You know, can they do? Can they adapt to the change? Mm-hmm. Change is still it's a common word that's problem everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if they can accept the change and look at the we're trying to make it where they live independent and live safe.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. For those listeners that want to contact you directly, Rick, tell us how they can reach you directly and how can they reach DK Lippe.
They can reach us several ways. Our telephone number in the Atlanta area is 770-496-5651. We're on the web at www.dklippe.com. Mm-hmm. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. So we're most accessible.
And email. I see an email address.
Email as well. Okay. That's right.
We appreciate that. Dennis, any last words that that you would like to close with?
No, I think one of the big reasons why I drifted and stayed in this area, there was a client we finished up with, and I was talking to her, and I asked her how everything went. We created a wet room, and she said, well, Dennis, it's kind of like, you know, you can buy that on a visa. You can buy this, you can buy that. But the first time my husband took a shower by himself and that smile, you just couldn't buy that.
That's good.
So that's, you know, it just brings us there.
There's the high point of the interview. Thanks, Dennis. I certainly appreciate that. I appreciate both of you being with us. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Dennis. Good information. Look forward to seeing you
in the
future.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Lee.
We appreciate our guests in Dallas, Tammy and Wanda. And for our listeners, thanks for joining us. And if you'd like to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, you can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And as always, in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.